The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
We are coming to you from Republic of Work in Cork as the opening shot in our summer tour. So I'm in Cork and the Minister of Finance, Pascal Donoghue, is in our Dublin studio. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
And I must say it's very summery in Cork at the moment. Whether the rain will come inevitably later on, I don't know. But for the moment, it's lovely. I hope it's good in Dublin. Now, Minister, the big challenge, I suppose, is Sinn Féin want money now. You want to give money later.
Well, we've already made money available now, and we've made money available now in recognising that for many households, for many, many of our citizens at the moment, the rising cost of fuel, the rising price of food is posing a real challenge. So we have already acted. We've acted through reducing VAT, cutting excise, bringing in an energy credit of €200 on your electricity bill, and increasing the fuel allowance. So all of those things have already happened, because we appreciate that for many at the moment, it's very, very tough.
Eaten bread, soon forgotten, and prices still rising.
And I think it is very understandable, given the rising cost of living that many are facing at the moment, that demands are placed on me to keep on doing more to respond back today. But I think it's equally important that I be honest about the challenges that we are facing. I'm facing calls to act week after week, month after month. But the challenges that we face are not going to go away in a few weeks, and they're not going to go away in a few months. We have to retain the ability to be able to act as this difficulty continues, particularly later on in the year when we get to the winter. And the parallel that I would very briefly draw past is that during the pandemic, I was on your show numerous times. I was facing calls at many other points to spend more, to intervene more. And during the 2 years of the pandemic, I think we can make the case that we got the balance right in overcoming a pandemic, in our economy recovering and getting people back to work and helping incomes grow again. We're now facing another challenge. That challenge could go on for some time. And what is so important is that if this challenge does continue, that the government has the ability to help at different points and doesn't pretend that we can do something week after week, month after month, invent new measures and not face other difficulties around the corner.
Yeah. Now, we have various people around the cabinet table, including your party leader, the Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, talking about, you know, tax decreases for certain cohorts of workers, maybe another tax rate. I know you won't reveal anything of that until the budget, but you do have, on the other hand, Social Justice Ireland saying on no account should there be tax decreases. It's probably tax increases that are required to address the problems of the poor.
Well, what the Tánaiste is referring to is a programme for government commitment, which is about how we would ensure that as wages grow within our economy, that we are doing all we can to help people keep most of those higher wages inside their own person, inside their own wallet. That is what the Tánaiste is referring to, which I've emphasised on many occasions. Social Justice Ireland do make the case for tax changes, for broadening our tax base and for some tax increases. And the truth of it is, Pat, budget by budget, we do that. We do it through various tax changes that I make. But what I am aware of is that we do have a really big cost of living challenge at the moment, and that it is going to be important as we go into the next budget to show that we can help within this year and then help for 2023. And that is what I'm aiming to do.
Now, you have expressed some concerns that the Eurozone will go into recession and, you know, what to do about that. You've also been involved in the drawing up of Europe-wide guidelines for budgetary framing. What sort of guidelines would apply to all?
Well, what I've done is just acknowledge that recession is a risk that the euro area, which is all those countries could share, that share the euro, and even Ireland could face. Since we updated our economic forecast there in April for our country, we've made very, very clear that we expect our economy to grow again strongly this year. We expect it to grow again next year. But we also acknowledged that there are risks out there in relation to, for example, energy that could have an impact on that growth, that could knock us back. It's true for Ireland. It's true for the euro area as well. But what we are doing within Europe and what I'm doing in the work that I do representing the euro is looking at what would be the kind of plans that we could have in place and what would be the right budgetary policy for Europe for 2023 to help us try and to manage those risks, to help us look after jobs and to help us look after income. And we are doing that work at the moment, and that will continue when we do the budget for our country for next year.
Okay, but these guidelines are supposed to inform all those framing budgets throughout the Eurozone. Meantime, we read that Ireland has the highest prices in the EU, and that is based on data from 2021. We all know that prices have gone up dramatically in 2022. So why are we so expensive?
Well, part of it is the fact that we are a small economy, and we are a small economy on the edge of Europe. And that frequently has an impact then on the cost of goods and services within our country. But it's also the case, Pat, that in many different measurements of the level of income that we have within Ireland, it also shows that the income that Ireland has, either our national income or the income per head of person within our country, is also very high. So yes, we do have high prices in many parts of our economy. The government needs to look at what we can do to reduce those prices in the context of Budget 2023. But other measurements would also show that we have a high level of income within our country. And of course, what we want to see happen across next year is to try to see a level of income growth within our economy that would help with the cost of living, but not add to the inflationary pressures or the cost of living pressures that we might have to deal with.
Hospitality has been the most visible culprit in terms of price gouging. Are you going to do anything about them? I mean, 9% VAT, a favourable rate of VAT. Maybe it's time to give them a slap.
And I'm, well, firstly, in answering a question like that, I always have to make the case that 1 in 10 people work in tourism within our economy. Particularly outside of our larger cities, it's an exceptionally important employer that has gone through an absolutely terrible 2 years of being asked to close, reopening, and now facing new challenges. All that being said, I made very clear that the VAT measure was only going to be in place until the early part of next year. And I am really disappointed to see some of the prices that are now being charged in some of our hotels, and would just emphasise the risk that the biggest threat to the viability and to the competitiveness of Irish tourism could well be the prices that it charges for its own hotels and for its own restaurants.
Now, car hire, disgraceful is the only word when you can go north of the border and hire a car at a fraction of the price. I mean, what's going on there? The vehicle costs, by and large, the same amount of money. A lot of the stock is old stock. It's not even brand new motor cars that are being rented because people can't get supply. And yet the car hire people feel they can charge a large multiple of what they would have charged 3 years ago.
And they'll be the first.
I mean, what can you do about people like that?
Well, I can't control the prices that private businesses charge for goods and services they make available. And there's no point indicating that a government can control those prices, because we can't.
No, but for example, the DAA could say, sorry, you guys are charging too much. You will not have a home on the airport.
And that will inevitably...
Go find yourself another premises.
But Pat, that runs the risk then of reducing the options that are available for tourists within our airport.
But a high-priced car for, you know, several grand for a few days, that's not even an option. That's not an option. Well, so look, why not penalise them and say, unless you moderate your prices and bring them into some sort of European norm, you will have no home on our airport campuses?
I've yet to come across a way in which we can improve competition by reducing the number of businesses that are within the sector. And within our airport, while this is a matter for DAA and for the people who run our airport, I think it's unlikely to be a short or medium term plan for increasing price competition if we reduce the amount of competition. The people who would pay the price for overcharging and for charging prices that are far too high will be those businesses themselves, as consumers vote with their own feet with the goods or services that they buy. And my message to those businesses that are involved in those kind of practices is, don't come to me or don't come to the government in a few months' time looking for help when your own business's practice, your own pricing decisions, have undermined the competitiveness of your business and undermined the competitiveness of our country.
Now, a few more things. AIB, another 5% to be sold. When you do the sums at the prices available in the market at the moment, there's a massive shortfall compared to the 20 billion that we put into AIB. I mean, we might be getting maybe a little over a third of the money back if you calculate for the whole shareholding that the state possesses.
Yes, but we would also look at what are the dividend payments that we have received, what's the tax that we have received from AIB and Bank of Ireland over time, and in which case the situation is better. But that being said, your point is still a fair one. We have seen the share price of AIB, as is the case with many of the European banks, trading at a discount versus what the value of it could be. And it does mean that it will probably take a bit more time to recoup back the money which the Irish state put into banks like AIB. But that being said, if we don't indicate our willingness to try to get a good price at each point in time, we'll end up in a situation, Pat, where we may be owning a share of AIB for far longer than we should be. So what I have done is week by week, month by month, if there's an opportunity for us to get what I believe is a good price, we have done it. We did that in our most recent transaction. And what it will probably mean, Pat, is that it will probably take us longer than I would have thought maybe 5 years ago to get our money back out of AIB. But I believe we will. But I equally believe it is the right thing to try to get a good price for our share in AIB if market conditions present themselves.
Now, the aspect of hospitality that we haven't referred to thus far is tipping and service charges. And it's signalled that the Taoiseach, obviously in Minister for Enterprise as well, is going to make some changes to the new bill that will make service charges outlaw them unless it is proven that the money goes straight to the staff who are serving. How would that possibly work?
Yeah, so the Taoiseach is considering this at the moment. We do appreciate that for many who are working within the hospitality sector at the moment, it's such an important part of our economy, as I mentioned a moment ago. But we do think it's fair that those who are working in the sector, if you decide to give a service charge, pay a tip, that you're clear that the person who is serving you will get the money that you're making available to them. The Taoiseach will be considering if changes can happen in the legislation that we have in this area that will make that more effective, give them a better chance of that happening at the moment. And if it's
merited. You'll be depending really on whistleblowers, won't you, to report that employers are not doing what this law will require?
Oh, I think we'll be dependent on a few other things. I think we'll be dependent on the goodwill and understanding of employers in relation to this. But this is why it's important that there's a legal framework in place on it. If there is a legal framework in place in these matters, in my experience, the overwhelming majority of employers do comply with it. I don't think we need to rely on the most extreme example of whistleblowers to implement a practice that we want to bring in. I think if the legal framework is in place and in clear, in my experience, most employers do comply.
Yeah. Now, most people are using cards, but the question is, when you tip, do you tip in cash, which goes straight into the pocket of the server, or do you tip in a card and then you're at the mercy of the employer?
And I always ask myself, I ask those who are serving me in a restaurant or cafe, do they get the tip if I use my card? And again, this is the kind of issue the Taoiseach is just reflecting on at the moment. How can we make it clear that if you do pay a service charge, that the person who is serving you gets the charge?
All right. A final area is the resignation of Paul Reid. Were you ambushed by that, Minister?
I wouldn't say I was ambushed by it, Pat. I wasn't aware of it until I heard about it in the media. But that can happen.
What did you think? I mean, did you think, oh my God, Stephen Donnelly overstepped himself by interfering with the running of the HSE for political reasons on Navan Hospital? Because that's what I thought.
That was not the first reaction that I had. Governments ultimately have to have the ability to be involved in really important decisions regarding clinical and healthcare.
They know nothing about it. I mean, there's one doctor in the cabinet, and that's Leo Varadkar. Stephen Donnelly's not a doctor. He should not be meddling in clinical decisions.
Well, if you were to adopt the approach that a politician can only be involved in decisions in sectors that they have worked in, then you would have a pretty small pool of politicians who are able to be ministers or TDs. I think when you are, and if you have the privilege to be a member of government, you are fortunate to have government departments who are able to advise you. And you're also, if you do get to the place of being a government minister, tend to have the experience and skills that are necessary to make decisions on the policy areas that you're responsible for. I thought that Paul Reid had done a great job as the chief executive of the HSE, particularly at a time in which the pandemic posed such a challenge to us.
But why would anyone take on a job where they know every decision they make clinically or administratively is going to be second-guessed by politicians?
I think we have shown, on the other hand, during the pandemic and also in relation to decisions that we have made, for example, with regard to cancer care within our country, that we have and will be guided by clinical advice in relation to what are the right public health decisions. But at the end of the day, we are accountable to the people for the decisions that we make. We do have to recognise local concerns in relation to the provision of healthcare services. When I heard the news regarding Paul's resignation, my first reaction was that I was disappointed that we were going to be losing a person of such calibre from the leadership of the HSE at this important time. But I very quickly moved on to what would be the next person to do the role and how can we get the right person in to lead the HSE quickly.
Minister for Finance and President of the Eurogroup, Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us from the Dublin studio. As I mentioned, we are coming from Cork.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.